Welcome back to Cinema Vino. Bienvenidos.
It's your boy.
You're crazy for this one, Rick. I'm here with Taylor and Travis.
Hi.
Hey.
And yeah, it's good to be back. Tonight we're going to talk about violence in movies. This is a heavier subject, but I think it's going to be interesting.
Pew, pew.
You know, I think that as our society has become more violent, people tend to look for a source of blame, and movies get some blame, video games get some blame, TV. So we're going to talk about that, especially as it pertains to movies in particular. So we'll start with Tay. What do you think?
I mean, obviously being a cinema movie lover, I think it is horseshit. I can understand all the sides of it. It's, you know, it can be influential, but, you know, it all comes down to, like, you know, be a fucking adult. You know, it's, I mean, I think I remember hearing, I never saw Deadpool 2, but I remember, like, hearing on the radio that there were a bunch of concerns that people, it was R-rated, but there were kids in that movie theater as young as, like, you know, 10, 8, 9, that parents were taking them to go see it. I never saw it. I don't know if it was bloody, but at least it had, like, you know, pretty offensive language.
Yeah, it's R-rating and Deadpool. Like, you've seen the first one, right?
Yes, yeah.
Deadpool's thing is that he can take a shit ton of damage and then just heal it back up, and he just heals all weird and shit. So that's on the parents for knowing the first one and then being like, yeah, this should be fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, you always blame the parents, but at the same time, this is also 2019 where you can pirate anything the next day. So these kids can go into their iPads and still watch it. So you can't blame the movies. I mean, you can't even try to boycott the movies or hide them because they're still going to get watched.
Yeah.
And the more you try to make something, you know, unattainable, mm-hmm. you're going to make it more desirable.
Appealing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, I've seen tons of those movies. And yes, I'm sure there is a mental health aspect to everything, but it's like, I think the point is, it's a fucking movie, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be entertaining. Unfortunately, some people die. You know, like, you look at Reservoir Dogs. I mean, that end scene, just, like, there's so much blood mm-hmm. everywhere. I mean, the guy is literally dying on, you know, and that was the early 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, dude's bleeding out for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it was just like, this is outrageous. But, you know, guys get his ear chopped off. And it was, like, there's a lot of shit going on. You know, almost, you know, long, long ass time ago. So, and movies have only gotten worse mm-hmm. To a degree, but it's like, so it's kind of hard to say that you can blame movies because you can blame movies for a long ass freaking time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's tons of shit out there.
Well, and then you even see like ebbs and flows, like all the Hostel movies. It's not my bag, but they created its own niche. They call it torture porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just try and outdo each other, like, each one, they try to get more intricate, more crazy, more, like...
Cringy.
Yeah. And it just, it wasn't a deal that I was like, I think this is outside my purview. Like, I
saw the first one kind of at faster speed. Like, mm-hmm. when I knew something was going to happen, I'm like, I'm not watching this. And, like, I mean, I would just speed it along.
Yeah.
And
also, for some of that, like gore-wise, I'm not terrible. Like scary movie-wise, some of that shit, like, I am a giant vagina.
Yeah.
And I can't handle some of that shit. Like, Taylor and I went to go see The Time Machine one time with Guy Pearce.
Oh, yeah.
One
little scene where, something pops in from out of frame, and I jump, and I think I made a sound.
Yeah.
But I don't think it could be heard, like, except for Taylor right next to me, and then, like, dogs, like, 4 miles away. Taylor's not letting me ever forget that.
But it was awesome.
But, yeah, that whole hostile torture porn, and, like, even that scene, it's kind of ebbed with time. Right. I mean, I think they're going to probably remake it or redo it at some point. But it's seen a drop-off. Yeah. So there's...
Well, and if anything, you know, I don't think it's... I don't know, this is going to sound bad. I really don't think it's violence at all, because everything's fucking violence. You see violence, you know, on the news, you know, you read about it, you hear about it. The only thing I can think of that I could somewhat agree to with people, but again, it's fucking cinema, and it's movies, and it's make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is make-believe. There is a glory... This is a glorified position towards, like, maybe the evil people.
Yeah.
So, just for example, Batman, mm-hmm. You know, the Joker. It's like, he was an evil guy, but he was almost glorified in that film. You know, it's like obviously it was just so you can see that they're in the movies they'll be glorifying maybe the evil people,
the darker aspect,
and so people could think of like, oh. And it's true. It's like, you know, you don't really get that much, but I mean, you're going to get airtime for at least 48 to 72 hours mm-hmm. until we forget about it. Yep. So it's like, that's the only thing I can think of is like, someone would be like, oh, hey, I could do that and someone will remember me. It's like, well, not necessarily. Yep. I was like, no. It's like, people do not remember that.
Actually, yeah, that's pretty about it now that I've noticed recently for all this bullshit in the news is that they hardly ever say the person's name or like show their face. And I'm like, oh, wow, like, if I really wanted to, you can kind of dig or find it, but then you're just like, yeah, no, fuck that person.
That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that's, yeah, and I think that's the only thing I could see, but if you really think about it, we don't glorify these people. Mm-hmm. When we talk about it, we talk about the situation, but, yeah, so that's, I don't know. I can see both sides, but me personally, it's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think there's some people who are not... not 100% there, not full kilt anyway. And that, you know, I think they were going to snap in one way or another. And they can point to, you know, like, you know, having impetus to do whatever. They can blame whatever they want to or say that they were inspired by whatever. But it's all their own mental instability or their how they're... skewed, but I saw a meme the other day and it was like, well, yeah, shit's bad these days, but like, you know, back in the day, people used to, you know, just chop each other up with swords on the daily or just, you know, hangings and all this shit. And they were like, well, maybe people are just garbage and we're just seeing the internet's just reflecting back at us. I mean, we get that worldwide news cycle and we just get to see through that lens, like how shitty we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Seem to be better and not be such fuck ups.
Yeah, that's well put. But yeah, I was thinking on the movie side that the first movie I remember being like blamed for violence amongst youth in my lifetime was the Terminator movies. Terminator 2 was a big one where they're like it glorifies violence. Right. And then the other one from my youth was The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
That was blamed on kids being violent. And, you know, my thought has always been that those two movies were, I believe, the top grossing movies in the world the year they came out.
Wow.
In like 100 countries. It was like, they weren't just number one here, they're number one everywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of places where violence like that doesn't happen. So, I mean, why do other countries watch it and are not violent?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This doesn't have pertain to movies per se, but we're essentially just talking about entertainment violence.
Yeah.
I played Dungeons and Dragons, and there was that whole satanic panic back in the day where they thought, you know, people that were playing these games were summoning devils and demons or talking about it and thought it was all real.
That would be kind of cool, though.
I would summon a demon so hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
My God, to have absolutely total conjuration control, like, that bitch would get me beer all the time.
Take one to work.
He's like, I thought I'd be doing a lot more than this. No. I thought I'd be crazy more havoc. Shut up. Make me a sandwich.
Get your stupid little bat wings over there and get me a lager.
Hey, beholder, another tray of beers. Yeah.
Yes, master.
But now that D&D is actually being used in therapy for autistic children and to bring children with Asperger's and stuff together to, you know, basically work through routines or whatever. But so it's all show and comic books too. Back in the day, every generation blames the one before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think there's a song like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there should be if there's not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think that's there's always that tendency to want to shift the blame, and I think that entertainment like movies and TVs, it's good because it is an easy target.
Yeah,
it's a very because everybody sees violence and those kind of things. It's like, yeah. You know, you don't want to put the blame on the home front or elsewhere because it's like it's too tempting, especially because movies and TV can't fight back. They can't defend themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I guess an actor could, but he was like, this is make-believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come to the set. Mm-hmm. Come look at where we shoot this. Like, this is not real. Like, in fact, the set's probably torn down and, you know, remade to something else. Like, this...
Yeah, they have those behind-the-scenes features. They show the bloopers, gag reel, all that. I mean, but, you know...
I think...
If you want to be inspired to do crazy shit you're going to be.
Well, like, yeah, you'll find. Well, and that's what I loved about, like, some, going back to Game of Thrones. Like, such, I mean, yes, it did have some comedic value, one or two lines throughout the show, but I love seeing the bloopers, like this intense show, you know, intense moments, and then they would, like, you know, someone would fuck up and they would start laughing. Yeah. You know, it's just like, and I'm sure that probably happened, like, in Hostel. Someone's probably torturing, and maybe he screamed too loud, hurt somebody's ear, and, like, they start dying. I mean, Eli Roth is a funny guy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure they probably were laughing throughout the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, as fucked up as it is, like...
Well, you have to more in those conditions when you're doing crazy, stupid shit, and you're like, oh, man, how do you guys deal with it on the day-to-day filming that? We're like, well, we have a lot of fun behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like... Yeah. It'd be a terrible place to work if you had to, like, keep ramp up that, like, tension and strife or whatever all the time. You got to have, like, that release, that let out.
Yeah. When to go back to your point about how, you know, TV won't necessarily repeat the killer's name or whatever because they get glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people who share their ideology tend to martyr people. And it's like, I remember...
Copycat.
Yeah, copycat or idealize, like, you know, this is our ideal that we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I remember after John Lennon was killed, the Paul, George, and Ringo kind of had a standing unwritten thing after that they would never mention the name of John's killer.
Oh.
So, because they didn't want him to get any free publicity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he made it clear after interviewing that was, obviously, he was mentally ill, but part of his thing was he just wanted 15 minutes of fame, and that was an easy way to get it.
Yeah.
And so, the other Beatles decided they didn't want to give him free fame, basically, for what he did. You know, I don't feel like society has ever come up with a deterrent for people killing each other. Like, in all their years of trying, it's like the death penalty hasn't done. I mean, literally, it's like there is the specter in some states of, like, you kill somebody, you're going to get pumped full of poison.
Yeah.
That does not stop people. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, it's like we haven't come up with an effective means to stop people who want to kill each other.
But that's, like, more a more humane, I mean, they sit you in a chair, you get a last meal, they put you to sleep first, and then they give you the lethal dose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with some people, the lights dim, and, you know, was it John Coffey, Green Mile, some kind of supernatural things happen.
Like the drink, only not spelled the same. No, not spelled the same at all.
But, you know, I feel like movies are not getting more violent. I feel like we peaked in the 80s and 90s with, like, the Rambo, First Blood, blowing people up. The Tarantino. I don't feel like movies are growing more violent.
Well, we did get a Human Centipede.
And that's a little bit, I'm thinking, like, that's gore.
Yeah, that's gore. And that is for that genre. But, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, and, you know, I guess it goes back when you're blaming movies. Like, what are you blaming? Like, the actual blockbusters?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you blaming these small independents? Like, you just reviewed... Midsummer, and, like, then you said the ending was pretty fucking intense.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, but I mean, that was what, in theaters for 2 days?
Yeah.
Here and where we are, and it's like, and so it's not really a blockbuster, so it's not readily available to everybody out there. So it's like, movies is such a big genre, it's like, what movies are you blaming? Gigantic blockbusters, or, you know, or are you going for that niche of, like, you know, the gore films?
Yeah, and I think Midsommar's already going to be one of those cult classic sleepers. Yeah. I think it's
a fascinating movie, and it has extreme violence, extreme gore. I mean, it's a disturbing movie, but yeah, it's not a mainstream movie. I mean, I'm thinking the 80s, 90s, you had, like, your Rambos and Terminators,
Chainsaw.
You know, your Steven Seagal type stuff that was, like, number one at the box office, where it was, like, graphic violence, Total Recall kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
So.
I mean, at that point, the extreme violence was mainstream, you know.
Yeah.
RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop. Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven?
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven, I think was his name.
Verhoeven?
I think he was from the Netherlands.
Sri Lanka?
Yeah. I believe he was Dutch. But even, like, going back to a movie like Where Eagles Dare, which is a 60s Clint Eastwood movie, Richard Burton. I swear to God, at the end of that movie, Clint Eastwood kills at least 300 Nazis. I mean, it's like it, with a machine gun that never runs out of bullets.
Yeah,
we can get to our movie cliches. That'll be our next podcast or next week. But it's like, I mean, honestly, I would like to see a count of all the people he kills, mows down, blood everywhere. And it's like, so it's not a new phenomenon, mm-hmm. you know, the whole like bodies piling up in the street kind of thing. It's like, that's not a new phenomenon for movies. That's not like it just came around yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It seems like almost society's violence has greatly outpaced the violence in the movies and its increase.
Yeah.
We were just going to touch on this and now we're just getting deeper, but it's true. It's like for every single, and this will go into probably next week's, but every single massive violent film that's out there that people would consider massive violent, there's 17 to 20 animated films about Angry Birds or, mm-hmm. or Jimmy Neutron. Is he still a thing? I don't know. But it was like, but there's always like,
the Rugrats.
Yeah. It was like for every one film like that, you know, there's 17 other like hearty, good, lovable, romantic films. So it's like, again, are you blaming all movies? It was like, okay, well, let's just not make movies anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Bugs Bunny dropping Acme anvils on people's head.
Yeah.
Back in the, you know.
Slapdick.
30s, 40s? Or 40s.
50s. Oh, yeah, yeah. Looney Tunes. I mean, that's, you know, that kind of changed the laws of physics for that whole art form. You know, it's like, you know, if you get a piano dropped on your head, it's going to invariably, your teeth are going to be the keys.
Oh, you're going to get a super sweet lump on top of your head, and it's just going to grow real big.
Yeah.
And then if somebody has like a tiny silver hammer and hits that lump will then grow its own lump.
It's just a miracle.
Yeah.
But even before movies, you had art was very violent. I mean, just walking around the Louvre on our honeymoon, the Louvre. Violent paintings were everywhere that go back to, you know, thousands of years. I mean, there were some graphic paintings that depict murder, crucifixion, all kinds of, I mean, people being ripped limb from limb.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that they, even that, I mean, it's graphic. That stuff was, or those things are famous paintings by, you know, famous artists. So even that's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's the role of art, is to push the boundaries of culture, to test it. And so I think that blaming art for society's problems is a dangerous thing.
Yeah. What year was Ed Gein? Was he in the 40s? I mean, he was making lampshades out of people's skin.
Yeah.
And I think he maybe just watching an Ed Sullivan show.
That's
the trash people are going to be trash.
Ozzy and Harriet time period, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. God, what was the guy's last name, List, that killed his whole family and went on the lam for 30 years? That was back in the 60s. And, yeah, just decided to hell with it. I'm done with the whole group. So there was some graphic stuff. I've seen that watching Forensic Files back in the 50s and 60s. There was a dude wiping out his family and burying them under the sidewalk he was building as he was going along. So, and he just said that they ran away from home.
Huh.
So, yeah. And then people bought the house and changed owners a few times, and they did some fancy high-tech scans. Oh, yeah, there's bones under here. So, yeah, he was burying people and building a sidewalk over them. So, that's not a new phenomenon either.
Yeah.
How'd the sidewalk look?
He built it himself, so he did, you know, it was craftsman's work. But it's amazing that in all those years of him digging holes and putting people under the ground, no one ever saw anything.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, late night sidewalking.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't think movies have gotten more violent. I don't think video games have definitely gotten more
detailed. Yeah.
But, you know, you look back to your Doom, Wolfenstein, Grand Theft Auto days. I mean, those have been around for 20 years and plus. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think those have gotten more violent. But the same deal as the movies. I think that the number one movies, you know, the movies are number one. The video games are number one around the world, too. You know, people play those games everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Places where they don't get violent. So how do you explain it that happens here?
Mm.
So.
Oh, that's a whole... That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
I don't have enough wine for that question.
it's a big subject.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking Got Grapes by Brock Sellers.
Wait, what's Tay drinking?
Oh, well, I don't even know. Travis, I don't even have the bottle on me.
Okay.
The bottle is called Free, F-R-E, and it is a alcohol-free wine. It's okay. I wanted to give it a little shot, you know, just check it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tay is expecting. We didn't want to drop that bomb, but there it is.
Great. Junior's a real thing, y'all.
We're going to take a brief break and we'll be back with a little more Cinema Vino. Hey, so yeah, I'm going to touch on this Val de Gay from Brock Sellers again because I'm going to be doing an ebook coming out soon that you'll be able to buy on my website and also on Amazon. So, and it'll be a wine and movie pairing, and I'll be looking for stuff like this Val de Gay that you don't necessarily see everywhere. Some off the beaten path stuff.
Oh, yeah, I like the art on it. It's kind of cool and simple. And I dig the
smaller boutique-y winery. So, yeah. It's good stuff. It's
pretty.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just keep an eye out for that. And so, anyway, do you guys have any parting thoughts about whatnot?
You know, I think Travis kind of said it earlier, like, with the whole movie thing and, like, people suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to find excuses to do anything. Mm-hmm. And they're going to blame anything they can for their shitty behavior. So, people suck, y'all. But there are also good people out there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people suck.
You learn that working retail, I think.
Oh, like, Christ on a crutch.
Mm-hmm. People suck, and then you die. That's it. Yeah. Can't find everyone. But there's, you know, to brighten up your day, there's always pornography.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
something out there for mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pornography store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was buying pornography.
I mean, I myself am just getting into like a little of the light choking, so mm-hmm. That's the rabbit hole I've been exploring.
Well, I mean, recently. Like it's always like when it says see more related, mm-hmm. and you click on that. But if I mean, then you could get into a little.
Have you ever like? Apparently, there's not all those hot MILFs in your area. I don't know what searches I've been doing, but they've been talking about like hot DILFs in my area, and I had never seen those before.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, I'm about to ask you here, buddy. What's a DILF?
A dad. He liked to fuck.
Oh. So, well, Travis, I think that would have to... What are you looking up, actually, to get DILFs in your area?
Dude, I'm only comfortable with sharing the little light choking. I didn't use any personal pronouns, and I'd think you'd stay out of my personal affairs.
I'm into dwarfs. I don't know about you guys, but...
Ooh. Dwarf or
yeah.
dwarf?
Dwarf.
Dwarf.
What is dwarf?
Tim Conway. You know, dwarf goes fishing. I want to see more related on that.
Okay, I was thinking of, like, Star Trek and Worf, but...
Anyway.
Okay.
This is how this super serious podcast had to end.
Mm-hmm. It had
with
to.
Light choking and mm-hmm. dwarfs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's going to be the name of the episode.
Dwarfs, wharfs, and whatnot.
Yeah. Dwarfs, wharfs, and dilfs.
Dilfs and dwarfs.
Mm-hmm. Lions, tigers, and bears. Anyway.
So okay.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever things like this are made and sold and heard.
And moviereviews.us.
A place where you can find your local DILFs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hot DILFs are waiting for you.
Hot dwarfs near you. Frog boners. Anyway, we love you. And we'll be seeing you soon. Well, Travis doesn't, but the rest of us do.
I have faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
Peace be the journey.
Yeah. Phil Collins.
Cool Runnings.
That's top three Shaquille O'Neal movies.
Blue Chips is number one for sure. Yeah.
Steel, number one?
No, Blue Chips.
Blue Chips, Steel, Kazam.
Actually, I'd say Kazam and then Steel.
It's close. That's like having to pick between Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Who would win, Kazam or Steel?
Ooh. I'm going to go Kazam.
Yep.